Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 395, comics and more.
So much more.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Charlie.
And we're here each and every week. Well, most weeks. We took a week off last week. But we're here most weeks to give you the very best in comic books. Talking about what came out that week or the last couple weeks maybe. Whatever we happen to be reading. And telling you what we liked and what we didn't like and what we thought was good. And what is worthy of your attention and your comic book dollars. This is not a what to buy podcast because no one can tell you that. We're just telling you what we thought was cool.
What we bought.
What we bought, right. So, but before we get into today's show, Charlie, we've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
All right, so normally I keep mail until the end of the episode because, you know, when I'm doing the, hey, you can check us out on Facebook, you can check us out on Twitter, and then, oh, by the way, we got email address you can send email to. Oh, look, we got an email, Charlie. I normally do that at the end, but then it occurred to me, you know, some people might not want to hear that spiel every week.
Like now.
You know, some people might not want to listen to, this is our Twitter, this is our Facebook, and all that stuff. And it occurs to me that some people, when they get to the end of the last review, just turn the show off. And if you do that, then you would miss out on this excellent email we got. So I want to read it first before we actually start the show today.
You're going to read it live?
I'm going to read it now. This is a reading. This is a reading by John Lovelace.
It'll be live.
Yeah. So.
IRL.
In real life.
Yeah, I think everyone knows what IRL is.
Well, I'm just emphasizing. All right. So this email comes from Matthew Kaiser, who we know as?
Matthew Kaiser.
Raven Jack. Raven Jack on the forums back in the day. We also met him at MegaCon in Orlando. He was a cool guy. Excellent. And so he writes, Dear John and Charlie. No, he writes, Hello, gentlemen. It has been far too long since you're well-versed. Now, this is his words, not mine. I'm not making any of this up. It has been far too long since your well-versed comic book knowledge has graced the podcast airwaves. You have been and still are my favorite podcast, favorite comic podcast. There may be other podcasts he likes better than us, but of all the comics podcasts, we're the best. He goes on, I'm almost caught up on all the new episodes, and I forgive you for not advising me you were back sooner, wink emoji. I'm glad I kept the voicemail line going for you for a while there, too, because you recall we mentioned that a few episodes back. Yeah. I hope to see this podcast continue to grow and be just as enjoyable as it once was. So, like, I hope you guys get at least back to where you were at.
Yeah, probably not.
that
John will probably fizzle for
I could just quit at any time. You never know. All right. So at least as enjoyable as it once was. You guys are like old friends who kept me informed and my wallet safe from bad comic decisions. And we just said that's not the intent of this show, to tell you what to buy.
Well, fools you, Matthew. We're only talking about good books. You're going to have to buy everything now.
So he goes on, John, I'm glad your health is doing okay or doing some better. Positive vibes are always heading your way. I can sympathize with your sewer overflow, as it happened twice last year in my house. Ew.
Well, he does live in Florida, so.
He's probably flooded, right? And this was the city sewer system.
No, I'm saying, isn't that what Florida is anyway?
Oh, it's a giant swamp, a giant overflow, a giant cesspool. Yeah. And this was city sewer. So I had commented, next house I buy will not have a septic tank. It'll be city sewer, so I won't have to deal with this. And he's telling me, could still be a problem, even with city sewer. Any chance of you guys making it down to Tampa Comic-Con or MegaCon in Tampa this year? Probably not this year, for me anyway.
Was MegaCon a few weeks ago?
Was it? I don't know. This is dated July
18th. I mean, they have a couple of them, so.
So, I don't know. My budget's very, very tight. You're lucky I'm even doing the show. So, that said.
No.
No, not for me this year. Next year could be a different year.
He says, was that MegaCon last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it the year before?
I don't know. It doesn't seem that long ago. I remember you telling me you were going.
Yeah.
He says, I'm.
I saw everyone dressed. I saw the Nicolas Cage costumes.
Right. He says, I'm going to be looking for your Facebook Live videos. Fools you, Raven Jack. We're on YouTube tonight. It's probably not smart to bounce it around so people never know where we're at. I'm going to be looking for your Facebook Live video so I can contribute and see you all live. Take care and make mine.
He's going to give us money. Let's go over to
YouTube. Yeah, well, that, yeah, it's true.
Let's go back to Facebook.
Go back to Facebook. He says, make mine alternate reality. So Matthew, a.k.a. Raven Jack. Thank you so much, man. I wanted to share that. That touched my heart when I got that. That's really, really cool. We appreciate it. And, hey, man, if you want to do your part.
We're on YouTube, really?
Yeah, we're on YouTube. That's where we're at. Tonight. We're on YouTube tonight. We're not on Facebook tonight. So, if you really want to contribute, there's a couple ways you can do that. I haven't set up any type of Patreon or donate thing or anything like that. If you really, really, really want to do that, we had another donation just the other day from somebody. If you really, really, really want to do that, then you can contact me on the email just like you did there, and I'll get up with you about how we can make that happen. Two, just spread the word. Just tell everybody, all your friends and neighbors and whoever would give a flip, people at the local combo shop or whatever. Hey, man, this is a really cool show. You need to listen to these guys. Just put it on your social media, put it wherever. Link to us, that kind of thing. Go over and write reviews for us. You know the drill. Just tell people how awesome Alternate Reality Podcast is. And that's probably the best thing you can do. In viewing, you know, getting things that increase the listenership, that's where it really counts. So, but I appreciate that. Those are kind words and really, really touched me. All right. So you guys know the drill. Alternate Reality is going to talk to you about the books that came out in the last little bit that we read that we liked. We're probably going to talk to you about the things going on in those books. So there are spoilers. I actually remembered it before the show this time. And so beware, if you don't want the book spoiled, you may want to stop the show and come back later after you've already read them. All right, Charlie, you ready to get into this week's show?
Sure.
All right, we'll be back in just a second.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's nothing but a low-down, good-looking pig with no respect for women. But you're wrong. I love women. Once, I even loved too much. Oh, it started innocently enough. She'd lost her glasses. I found them. Here you go, little nearsighted mama. She smiled at me through those Coke bottle frames and said, Jinkies. Oh, man, I'm in love. What followed was a whirlwind romance full of laughs and adventure and badly disguised villains. She was always on the run, but I was right behind her. I was driven to madness. I had to make her mine. I took her to our favorite night spot, gazed into those wobbly eyes and said, Velma, marry me, pretty mama. She looked back at me with that freckled face full of love, sighed, and said, I'm sorry, Johnny, but my career comes first. It was then I felt my heart break like a fragile Scooby snack upon the jagged teeth of reality. And it's been broken ever since. Hey there, little mama. The seat taken?
Alternate Reality, bringing you the very best in comic books. Be sure to check us out on the internet at arnetcast.podomatic.com, where you can listen to this episode as well as a bunch of other amazing episodes. That's what we do here. We make solid gold ear candy, to borrow a phrase from our Secret Identity brethren who no longer podcast. We miss you, gentlemen, on the airwaves talking about comics. They do other things now, but they used to talk about comics. Charlie, what?
Yeah, Matt works at Amazon.
Yes. All right, Charlie, not to belabor, not to talk about other people's show. We should do our own.
We should do our own.
The first up this week is...
I'm out of here.
Star Wars Darth Vader Annual number 2. Go.
You know, I really like this issue, and you know why I like this
issue. Why do you like this issue, Charlie?
Because they basically set up Vader as the one who made it possible for Krennic to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And set up Tarkin for, like, being a patsy. It was great.
Right.
But then it's like, you might have you might question yourself, and you, like, figure out, like, well, why would he do that? Because the Emperor puts Tarkin in charge of Vader.
Right. Which, you know, for Vader, that's got to be hard, right?
Which is funny, because you see Vader, and he's sitting there, and he's just, like, you just see the lightsaber come out, and, like, he
invigorates
him.
Yeah.
And it's all in that red glow, so it's like, and then Tarkin's like, oh, you're probably imagining killing me right now, aren't you?
Oh, no, no, no.
Or breaking his neck or whatever.
He just sat there and imagined 3 or 4 different ways to kill him.
But this was cool, too, because, like, Tarkin sends him to Geonosis to spy on Krennic. Because he thinks Krennic is sabotaging these shipments to build the Death Star.
Right. These ore shipments that they're sending out.
And this has been an ongoing thing in Darth Vader that he's been trying to figure out what the Empire has been doing, trying to build the
Yeah, because it was a big secret project.
Yeah.
At this point, Vader, you would think he'd be on the inside, but he didn't know.
Yeah. So he thinks Krennic is deliberately sabotaging stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends Vader to go spy on Krennic. And when he goes and spies on Krennic, he learns that Krennic says, no, it's not us that's doing it. It's not me who's doing it. It's Tarkin.
Right.
So he sets him up like...
Krennic and Tarkin hate each other.
Yeah. Because I think Tarkin was the one who originally came up with the Death Star plans.
Mm-hmm.
But like Krennic tried to take over. I think that's what Rogue One was about.
Right.
But Vader, like investigates all the sabotage that's going on. He even asks, like, one of his Imperial officers, he's like, well, what do you think about these two? And she's like, well, you got to understand, those two might hate each other, but they love the Empire way more.
Right. So they'll put up with each other.
Yeah.
Because it's a necessary evil.
Yeah. So they wouldn't sabotage the shipments because
they're loyal.
So he finds out, like, he investigates some more, and he goes to Jen Erso's mom and dad's apartment or whatever, and this is before
Rogue One. He goes all the way back to where's that at? That was on the
I want to say Coruscant.
Yeah. So you go basically all the way back to the Imperial City.
Yeah.
To see that apartment.
And he finds an egg there.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it's an egg from Geonosis, where Krennic is at.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because when Vader's on Geonosis, he starts remembering the fight
from that he was there. Episode 2? Yeah.
From...
Yeah, episode 2 at the end.
Or 3.
When they were in the arena?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was at the end of 2. Because 3 was just the battle over the city, and he cuts Dooku's head off, and that's how that opened.
I don't remember. Anyway. Anyway, I just thought it was cool that you got the glimpse of him, like, remembering his past.
Right, because I think it's easy to separate Anakin and Darth Vader in your mind as almost like two different people. And I think every time that they can take an opportunity to tie these characters together and remind you this is the same person and how he's changed, it's good when they do that.
But ultimately, he goes back and, like, he kills like all the Geonosians are there. Mm-hmm. And Tarkin like asks him, he's like, well, did you find who did it? And he goes, yes. And he goes, what happened to him? He goes, I killed them all.
Like the animals they are.
Yeah. Just like he did with the
same thing he said with the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah. And it actually shows him remembering killing them too. And
Tarkin's like, good. He's like, yes.
And then he starts asking him about the Death Star, and he's like, what?
Well, see, what put him onto that was he was in that apartment.
Yeah.
And he found the kyber crystals. And that's what tipped him off, the magnitude of the power that this thing has if it harnesses the kyber crystals. Yeah. He immediately knew this is a planet killer.
But this all sets it up to where, like, you kind of wonder, like, and then, like, at the end, like, this robot comes and tells Jen Erso's mom, get home to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an Imperial droid.
Right.
And it says, get home to your family right now and get them out of there. And she's like, well, who sent you? And he goes, I can't tell.
And he auto-destructs.
Yeah, and he, like, melts there. And the whole issue leads you to believe that's Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're being confused, you're like, well, why would Vader sound like warn Jen Erso? It's like he's trying to get Tarkin, like get rid of Tarkin,
right?
Because the Emperor has like kind of succeeded him and have him being like his number two,
right?
So he doesn't like that at all.
Right.
And he hates being out of the loop with the Death Star.
Right.
But you'd be like, well, he, at the end of Rogue One, he goes through and kills him. Why is he doing that? Because the Emperor told him to get the plans.
Right.
So, you know, that's when he becomes unstoppable kill monster.
Right.
Which, like I said, it was just a really good...
Up to this point...
Annual.
Up to the end of New Hope, I think I'm surmising that the Emperor used Vader more or less just as an attack dog.
Yeah.
You go in, be a nuclear warhead, kill all these people, and come back. But he didn't trust him, and he didn't tell him anything.
And there's been a thing in this book, because I'm reading this book regularly, that the Emperor, like, doesn't trust Vader at all.
Well, he shouldn't. He's Sith. He knows he's going to betray him.
Yeah. And, like, he sent him to, like, he's had to deal with, like, the Dark Brotherhood from, like, Rebels and stuff like that. It's been a good book.
Yeah.
Darth Vader's a really good book.
Excellent. All right, that brings me to my selection. Justice League Dark. So, taking a page from the Avengers over at Marvel... DC has decided to do a similar thing, whereas Marvel will have four or five versions of Avengers teams. Not right now, but they often do.
Well, this is the second time they've done this.
True, true. This is not the first time.
When New 52 came out.
But we're going to have another. There'll be a third Justice League team.
Yeah, Justice League Odyssey.
Right. And so it's starting to feel a lot like Avengers, New Avengers, Uncanny Avengers. It feels like there's multiple Avenger teams running around together. And the same way, it's starting to feel like there's multiple, Justice Leagues running around together.
But that's what I'm saying. When the New 52 started, they had Justice League of America, Justice League Dark.
I remember that.
And Justice League International. Yeah,
right. So I'm not saying this is the first time this has ever been done, but it's more of a Marvel mainstay. And so they're picking back up on it and doing it again. I found this book really interesting. I always kind of like books that deal somewhat with magic anyway.
Had some interesting things going on there.
So the book opens up with Satana, and she's trying to put on a magic show, but the magic's going wrong. She goes to pull a rabbit out of a hat, and the rabbit's a bloody dead rabbit when she comes out with it.
Starts talking to her.
And then she, at some point, does a spell, and like this big, cloudish, hideous monster thing with entrails coming off of it, and tentacles and things comes out and starts attacking people. And every time that she speaks magic words to it, like whatever she says, the opposite will happen, which is kind of an irony kind of thing because she has to speak things backwards to get them to happen. Yep. But like if she said for something to die, it would get stronger. If she told something to, if she spoke magic and she said, get in that box, then it would go outside of the box. It would do whatever. Right now, it seems to be doing the opposite of whatever she magically instructs it to.
Well, when Diana comes in, they say, like, it's using your magic against us. So,
right.
Because she tries to set the thing on fire.
Right.
It uses a fire wave to blast back at her.
Right. So Diana comes swooping in, and she just pounds the thing into pieces. She's like, magic may not be the solution here. Physical force may be the solution here. And so that seems to work. So they're able to get a handle on it. And Diana basically makes an impassioned plea to Zatanna. She was like, listen, magic's going wonkers. Nothing works right anymore. We've got to figure this out. Come help me. Join my team and let's handle this. And Zatanna's like, no, thanks, but no thanks. And what she's, basically what happens then is there's a secret meeting of all these magic-based characters, the Witch Boy, Morgan, Constantine, Morgaine,
from like the jail, the Justice League U,
right? And so there's all these characters, and then so Jason Blood's there. All these characters are sitting around having this big. All these magic characters are sitting around having this conversation about how magic's broke and what they're going to do about it. And basically, they all know that Wonder Woman's trying to do something about it, but Wonder Woman's not in the club. And so she's not allowed to come to this secret meeting. And so, in the meantime, while they're having the secret meeting, Wonder Woman's sitting over there at the Heroes Bar or whatever that place is. The Oblivion Bar. With Detective Chimp. And she's like, we got dead people down here in the lab. We're trying to figure out what happened to them. Nobody wants to help me. And Detective Chimp's more like, well, oh, I am Detective Chimp. Let's go figure it out.
Well, she also says, like, I'm trying to help these people, and these people don't realize that they need the help, or they're just ignoring me when they need the help the most.
Well, and the magic...
And she goes, with the magic stuff, look, I was riding a griffin when I was a little girl.
Well, and she said, that's it. They don't see me as a magic character.
Yeah.
You know, magic-based hero. But everything Wonder Woman's got is magic-based, from the lasso to the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And so, but because she doesn't cast spells, then they don't view her as one of their kind. And so they don't invite her in. And so they all more or less decide at the end of the day that they're not going to do anything about it. And so now Wonder Woman's on her own. Well, she takes Detective Chimp to the Justice League Tower, where he meets the other member of her team that she's got so far, and it's Kurt Langstrom. And he is a very controlled, submissive Man-Bat in his scientist mode, but he still looks like Man-Bat.
He kind of looked like Monkey Man-Bat, which was really weird.
So, but he...
Because he doesn't have the wings or anything, and his ears are kind of short.
So, he's basically trying his best from a scientific approach.
He was Hulk. He was Banner Hulk.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's kind of the way they're playing him off. You've got scientist Man-Bat, and you've got savage Man-Bat. And so...
But I kind of like Kirk in this, because he was just, like, real giddy about, like, everything.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here! It's been a while since I've had visitors, you know.
Oh, come down to the morgue. You must see all the crazy stuff down here.
So, they get down there to the morgue, and Detective Chimp comes there to look at these bodies. These bodies look like something out of a Cronenberg movie. That's a Rick and Morty reference. I mean, it's actually a Cronenberg reference first, but the reason that's popular again is because of Rick and Morty. But these things are hideous. Big tentacles growing out of them. They look like they're, some of them look like they've melted.
But they were partially. All like victims of like magic.
Gone awry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as they start to examine the bodies, the scene shifts, and it's Swamp Thing. And Swamp Thing is sitting in front of the Tree of Wonder, which is the magic-based tree that grew during the whole Justice League No Justice conflict.
With the Omega Titan.
Right. And so Zatanna comes out here, and she was like, what are you doing out here? Why didn't you come to the meeting? She's like, magic is
dying. Well, she said, I saw you in the back.
Yeah, he was kind of there, but he didn't do anything.
She's like, why didn't you say something when Jason was spouting all of his crap?
So he talks to her a bit.
I think it's funny. They kind of give him like dreads in this.
Which yeah, it's kind of weird the way the tentacles are draping over
his or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, something needs to be done. You know, since the source wall has been broken, the elders, the people who created magic, are coming back for what they feel like is theirs. And about that time, she gets a vision of her dad, who's on fire, which is the way he died.
Yeah, because he was in
a seance or something.
Yeah, a seance or an exorcism with Constantine
and a couple other people.
Him and two other people were set on fire.
And they got killed, right? And so she still, to this day, blames Constantine a little bit for that. And so he basically tells her, he says, "Zatanna, my darling girl, I am so terribly sorry, but this is only the beginning. They are coming." And so he basically gives her a glimpse of what's coming, and it's hideous, and she screams. So the scene shifts from there back to the morgue, and you've got all these dead people on the slabs, and they start coming to life, and they're going to attack. So Wonder Woman tells Kirk, "We need a little help here, Kirk." "No problem." Gets out a vial, injects himself. Ah!
He goes, "I've got a little of the original Man-Bat formula."
But
the weird thing is, we didn't talk about it, but in the Oblivion Bar, none of the magic people are there.
Right. They've abandoned the place. They used to hang out there.
And it's because Nightmaster died.
Right. During Dark Knight's Metal.
Yeah. And which is funny because now Detective Chimp has his sword.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy 13 is like calling him Nightmaster for like.
And he hates it.
To be. Well, she's being like sarcastic.
Right. She's picking at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because like it's kind of cool like how Tracy 13 is the daughter of that one guy who used to go out looking for weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what his name
was. I don't either. I haven't spent as much time with the magic-based DCU characters as I'd like. So I kind of hope this book gets me more into that world. But they're in this fight. We've got Savage Man-Bat, which is weird because it seems to me like Savage Man-Bat would be an uncontrolled Man-Bat. Like, he would attack everybody. I'm not sure that's a good thing in a fight like this. But about that time, Zatanna and Swamp Thing come busting in. And she says, "Zatanna, Swamp Thing, what are you doing here?" Wonder Woman says, "This is so much worse than anyone thought, Wonder Woman. Magic is going to die, and all of humanity is going to die with it. And one of us will be its destruction." Dun, dun, dun. To be continued, says next, Fate holds the answer. So Dr. Fate is coming next episode.
What'd you think about this issue, though?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
But wasn't it a lot of reading?
Oh, there were a lot
of words. I mean, like, some of the word balloons took up, like, a lot of...
Yeah, like, this page is very busy. There's a lot of word
balloons. Well, like, in the Oblivion Bar,
mm-hmm.
where her and Detective Chimp are talking, like,
right.
Some of those, like, word balloons take up, like, almost the whole page.
No, you're not wrong.
The whole panel. Yeah, it's like, wow, you really need to condense it a little bit, you know. I guess they were doing it just to...
Well, this is the first issue, and we got to do some backsplaining. So I imagine maybe they'll cut down on that as it goes.
For those of you who didn't read Dark Matter and Night's Metal...
We've got to explain what's happened in the last two or three DC series. Yeah. So, yeah, but I enjoyed this. You know, if I was going to rate it, I'd give it like a 4 or something. It wasn't fantastic, but it was very solid. And it piqued my interest, and I enjoyed it a lot. So I'll be hanging on for the next few issues to see how it goes. Now, if this gets off into some weird tripe that I don't care about, then I'll drop it. But as long as they keep it interesting and cool, and with a good mix of characters.
Well, yeah, because like I wasn't expecting Constantine to pop up.
Right.
And then you have Constantine, then you have the Clarion who's doing whatever in a secret house.
Yeah.
He's like, well, anyone who goes in this house... gets killed, and I just want to watch it happen.
And there was a bunch of really cool characters that were there in the house. It was, you know, you had Deadman was hanging in there. You had Zareal,
yeah,
from Zareal from Grant Morrison's Justice League, Necron, and at least one other demon of some kind that I didn't know exactly who it was. But didn't they call him the First of the Fallen? So wouldn't that be Lucifer? And then maybe it was Lucifer. I don't know, but I recognize Necron. Necron is a bad guy that I've not seen since the JLA. Grant Morrison run. I know he's popped up in other places, but I hadn't seen him.
What do you mean Neron?
Oh, did I say Necron? Necron is the Green Lantern bad guy.
Phantom Stranger's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is Lucifer. That one who goes hell will require assurance from the Silver City.
Right. So it like that.
Yeah, what's his name? The Felix Faust is there.
Mm-hmm.
That Black Alice is there.
Is Madame Xanadu? Who's that in there standing right here with the kind of the boob window in her dress?
That might be Madame Xanadu. I think that's the even like the creeper with that red thing around him.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Might be.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's just, like I said, a lot of really cool characters. Is that Shining Knight? Who's that?
That's Felix Faust.
Oh, is it? Okay. Ah, I see. It was the helmet that kind of threw me off. Okay.
So there's a bunch of good guys and bad guys in the movie.
Right. Because they're all together for a common purpose. You know, we may not like one another, but we got to do something about this. Because
we're all magic-based.
Yeah. So, like I said, it was intriguing to me. I liked it a lot, and so I'll be on board. All right, Charlie. Segue into Saga number 54.
This is the last issue of Saga for a while. And it kind of ticks me off. And they kind of explained it. They were like, well, you know, usually we take off 3 months. But, you know, right now, even like now, 3 months is like not that far along. And like, we want to keep the book up to its standards. So we're going to take a year off at least. And I'm like, a year? And I don't know if I want to spoil everything that goes on with this.
Right.
But there's a lot of dead people in this issue.
Okay.
There's a major character who dies in this issue. And it's kind of upsetting. Like I said, it's a major character. It's one of the three primary characters.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the three primary characters of the book are Alana, Marco, and Isabel.
Right.
They kill Marco in this issue.
I don't know if I want to give it away. Oh, Marco's dead.
The Will kills him. Like, the Will and him have a big, huge fight because the Will had killed Prince Robot the Fourth.
Right.
You know, the guy with the TV head.
Right.
He killed him in the last issue. Well, him and this character named Xanth, I think her name was.
Mm-hmm.
They killed like four people in the last issue. Like, they killed one of the reporters that was with them. They killed Prince Robot. They killed another character off. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, there's a lot of death going on. Like, this is a book you don't want to read if you like the characters. Mm-hmm. Because eventually they're all going to die.
Right.
And the sad thing is, I didn't know Marco was going to die, and I really like him as a character. Because, like, him and the Will are fighting, and, like, Marco, like, gets a chance, and he's, like, almost going to, like, behead the Will.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do it. And he turns around, and all of a sudden, the Will just, like, puts his hand through, like, Marco's chest and, like, takes him out.
Wow.
And I was listening, because like
Charlie's sitting there clutching the book.
Well, the whole book is like told from Isabel's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really know what's going on until she says it,
right?
Or she says something about it, because you're like, well, yeah, that's cool, and it's like. Because when her babysitter died, the ghost character, they killed that character off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, everyone, like, has basically died. And I'm just like, I don't know what they're doing. It's just, it's kind of hurt. It's hurtful.
Brian K. Vaughan has never disappointed you before, but every story's got to have some emotional resonance. So if you don't feel it, then...
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know. Because, like, the other book, like, the other one of my books that I've been reading and I've liked for a while has ended, too, and it was Descender.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, well... Is
it permanently ended or for a while?
It's permanently ended, but next year they're doing a semi-sequel to it.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, well, you know, we just, we kind of felt like we were doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. But then again, we went to this one planet where it was like all mystical. So that's what that book's going to be.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know if I like that or not.
I'm not at all interested in that.
Well, I'm not saying that. It'd be interesting because, like I said, it's Dustin Nguyen and Jeff Lemire, but I don't know. I liked Saga. I kind of wish Marco hadn't been killed. I mean, just keep the three characters alive.
Charlie's like, this is really bothering me.
Can't bother me too much. I mean, it'd be a year. I don't even.
Nobody could see Charlie but me, but he actually looks a little distraught on his face.
What I'm saying is, I don't know what I'll be doing in a year. So I don't know if I'll be picking up this or
if you'll be alive.
Yeah.
You know. No, I'm like, Charlie's like, it can't end like this.
The Cheeto had probably put us in nuclear war before that happens.
Maybe not. Maybe Jesus will come back and take everybody out of here. Anyway, who knows?
Well, I'll still be here.
Charlie's like, I'm not going on that trip.
but yeah, Saga is a really good book, and that's probably the reason why it bothers me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like,
oh, all right, now, so, oh no, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You're going.
Well, I was going to ask, do you think that this is? I mean. Clearly, they may need a break from time to time. So I'm not saying that's not true, but do you think the long pause is a marketing decision to build up anticipation for it coming back?
Doesn't seem like it.
So they're not manipulating the fan base to try and sell more issues down the road.
Why would they? I mean,
well, if that's the case,
I think Saga is one of the top sellers. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but.
Well, I was going to say, if that's the case, I think it could backfire. Because if you wait too long, people will lose interest and they might not come back at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like every four or five issues, when they put out a trade, they usually take about 3 months off.
Right.
So with 54 issues, it's been over six. Well, it's been about, I'd say, seven and a half years.
We were podcasting the last time when the show, when it started coming out.
Yeah.
So however long we were down with no show.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like it's been about 7.5 years for the whole
right
entire thing.
So it was a real gut punch.
It was a gut punch when they killed Marco, yeah. Well, the thing is, like when the Will and him were fighting, Marco's people can use magic.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the spell against him. And that's what the Will used against him because he goes, well, you know, I know your people. And once they use that type of magic, they pretty much gave everything and you'll be weak as a kitten.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So he took advantage of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sucks. The Will must die.
Oh, well, he should have died.
Well, see, when that book started out, they played the Will as kind of a sympathetic character. Even though he was sent as a bounty hunter, you kind of earned the impression, well, he'll come around, he'll be a good guy. No, didn't happen. Okay.
I mean, he did some good things. And, like, when he killed Prince Robot, he really hasn't been going after Alana and Marco for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because after they killed the Stalk, his lover, the Lady Spider Woman.
Right.
He like got real fat. Like, no, I'm serious. He did. And like, he stopped bounty hunting and he saved some girl from like, some sex slave business on one of the planets. And you're just like, well, yeah, he's pretty sympathetic.
He's a Han Solo kind of lovable rogue character.
But then this character is Xanth, like, kind of went after him
mm-hmm.
and had been torturing him for like a long time. Like for like about a year or so. So like he's come back and he's lost the weight and whatever, just probably because she hasn't been feeding him and beating him or whatever.
Right.
So it kind of seemed like he was doing all this stuff to please her.
Right.
That's why they were going after Prince Robot and all them, because mm-hmm. that's who she was really after. because Prince Robot had her husband killed.
Okay.
So I don't think the Will actually knew he was fighting who he was fighting in this issue until probably like this issue.
All right. Well, everybody loves Saga. I mean, it's been a top seller since the day it came out. So sounds like it continues to be excellent. All right. Transitioning. I'm going to talk just briefly, just a couple things about Infinity Wars Prime, number one. Now, this issue made headlines last week. Everybody kind of, oh, something major happened in this book. Everybody probably knows, so I'm not going to worry too much about it. I'm going to tell you what happened in the book that I thought was cool.
I know.
So basically, it's playing off of the back of Infinity Wars, the Infinity War movie, Avengers Infinity War. Marvel had to release some kind of an Infinity Stone crossover event this summer. And so that's what this is. There's been a lot, as Charlie mentioned earlier, there's been a lot of prelude stuff leading up to this, which I didn't read. But this was spotlighted as a must-read issue this week. So, well, I'll check it out.
No, I'm saying there was like Infinity Wars Countdown or
whatever. Right. Yeah, but a bunch of stuff that led up to this.
Like 1, 2, 3, and 4. And
right.
There was Daredevil Champions and...
Mm-hmm.
Elektra, I think.
Right. Which and so it wasn't on my radar. All that stuff, I knew there was something Infinity War related coming down the pack,
yeah.
But it wasn't on my radar. I didn't care about it. But like I said, I saw an article last week that said this is a big issue. You need to read this. And I was like, oh, all right. And all the stuff that I'm reading, I'll check that out too, just because. And it had some interesting features about it that I find interesting. So that's the only reason I mentioned it. And like I said, what am I going to talk about again? Action Comics, you know, because... I've talked about a lot of Superman stuff. Action Comics, by the way, was kind of bland. So Brian Michael Bendis trying to talk about Superman's day-to-day life just wasn't... Eh. It may get better, but it's kind of slow to start. Anyway, I think Superman will be the better of the two books. Anyway, so this book, basically, you've got a new Infinity Watch. And the leader of the team is Doctor Strange. And that's really cool. So that all these people in this Infinity Watch... are basically the masters of a particular stone. So you've got Doctor Strange, who's obviously got the Time Stone, because that's what he's got in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You have got Black Widow, who has the Space Stone. I have no clue how she got it, where she got it, how she come up with it. But she's the guardian of that particular stone.
Yeah, there was her too.
Drax, the Destroyer, has got the Mind Stone. No, he's got the Power Stone. Captain Marvel has got the Reality Stone. Of course, Adam Warlock's got the Soul Stone. And then some guy named Turk Barrett has got the Mind Stone. Now,
Turk Barrett.
Good old Turk Barrett.
No, Turk Barrett. What is it? Professional prostitute.
Oh, no. Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Turk Barrett, male prostitute.
Well, Turk Barrett is not a male prostitute, but he is a gang runner. He runs a gang. He's the only bad guy of the group.
We're in a gang, see?
Yeah, he basically is a thug and a low-level criminal. And how he ended up with the Mind Stone, I have no idea. But everybody else is pretty much a hero for the most part. And they all are taking... And so basically, Doctor Strange, as the more or less de facto leader of the new Infinity Watch, has decided to let each one of these people be a guardian of this particular stone. And I guess maybe they come together when they need to do some important things from time to time. He really didn't get into that. I think a lot of that was covered in the earlier lead-up stuff, okay? So this issue we're getting to, that was really cool. I like that. There's a lot of, like, gathering of forces. And Loki's trying to figure out why it is in certain books he looks differently and different stories show him as a hero or show him as a villain. And this librarian from Asgard basically says, well, these are books from the multiverse. Not all of them reflect you the same way. And he starts asking her really tough questions about how the multiverse was formed and things like that. She starts talking about the quarry of creation. And he goes, how do you get there? She says, oh, I've not been on an adventure in a long time. I'd like to go. So the quarry of creation is this like place where these witches, the elder witches are gathered around to guard this like primordial place where all power and energy flows from or something or other. They didn't go into a lot of explanation, but he's on his way there to find out more about it. Okay, then it shifts to Adam Warlock. Adam Warlock in the Soul Stone, and he's having problems because the Soul Stone is not this peaceful, tranquil, heaven-like place that it normally is. It's like it's upheaval there. It's like people are upset, and it's like there's storms and there's sandstorms and things like that. So it goes to Doctor Strange, and he's telling Doctor Strange there's a problem with the Soul Stone. And he goes, well, what should we do? He says, well, if you'll give me your time stone, then I can go back to before when this was a problem and correct it. And he goes, well, why don't you give me the mind stone and I'll go back to before this was a problem and correct it. And so there's this idea that all of the Infinity Watch people who are each guarding a stone don't none trust each other. And so they're all kind of vying for a way to get their hands on another stone. Even characters like Doctor Strange and Adam Warlock. And I think in those two particular characters' situations, it's not so much that they're bad and they want the power. It's like they don't trust anybody else with it. Like Doctor Strange is worried that these fools are going to break the universe or something. So they agree to go into the Soul Stone together to get a better look at it. And when they go in to see this thing, there's this giant monster that I swear they ripped from Stranger Things in the background of the Soul Stone that's terrorizing the souls there.
It's Cthulhu-esque.
And so the basically Adam Warlock gets like impaled in there and he's going to die. And so Doctor Strange has to use Soul Stone to go back before he was impaled and jerk him out. And what's funny is that before he went in,
what time?
Jerk him out of the Soul Stone, pull him out of there.
I thought you said off.
Your hammer pulls you off. And so what's funny is that before Adam Warlock went into the Soul Stone, he said, what have you been doing with Kang? And he goes, I haven't seen Kang. And he goes, yeah, you have. I can sense the tachyons on you. Then he goes back in time to pull him out of the Soul Stone, and he realizes, oh, the reason that you're sensing tachyons, the reason I sensed tachyons earlier is because I went back in time and pulled you out of the Soul Stone, and those tachyons are still on you. And so it actually was him from slightly in the future that did that to him. So that was kind of cool. And so the scene shifts from there to the Chitauri Prime homeworld and Thanos. And Thanos realizes that the stones are in play. Now, apparently the stones were destroyed sometime back, but they've been reborn. And so the running theory is that the Infinity Stones can't be destroyed, that they're a very part of the essence of the universe itself. And even if you shatter them into a gajillion pieces and it's just dust and you blow it into the wind, they will at some point reform and reconstitute themselves. So now that the Infinity Stones are back, Thanos is once again going on a quest to gather all the Infinity Stones because that's what Thanos does. And as he's giving his speech to the people on the Chitauri homeworld, he goes, none shall oppose me. And about that time, a sword impales him. Thanos, who cannot be killed from all we've seen so far, everything that everybody's ever done to him, he shrugged off like it was nothing. Suddenly he's impaled and he turns and he goes, what is this, my requiem? And she goes, if you wish. And she slices his head off and his head falls off his body to the ground. And as he sat there and he's thinking to himself, he says, this is a fine death. The future I dreaded is no more. And as the light fades from my eyes, I am made whole. And if you look in the distance, you can see death in his eye. He's going to be reunited with the one he loves.
Well, who killed him?
They don't say. It's just this new character called Requiem, and that's the mystery. So all these Chitauri aliens go, you killed our master. Now you are our master. We pledge allegiance to you.
King is dead. Long live the king.
Yeah, and so basically that sets up this summer event that's crossing over with 1,200 books. And
yeah, they even added Sleepwalker as a character back again. That's ridiculous.
So, like I said, I'm going to try and read, if I can work it in, I'm going to try to read just the main book, not get any of the tie-in stuff because I don't really care. I just kind of want to see who this character is and how they were able. I believe it's a lady because the form of the character looks feminine, even though she's got a full body armor thing on. Mm-hmm. And I want to see, you know, who this character called Requiem is. If it's Gamora or Nebula, that would be kind of cool. I would think because they finally killed the old SOB, you know? So that was interesting. So
the big thing is they think everyone thinks he's dead.
He's supposed to be. That was, I mean, it was touted online all last week as Thanos is dead, finally.
But he's got his own book. And he's not dead in that.
Yeah, so, I don't know. All right, Charlie, your last book of the evening, Terrifics number 6.
Well, the Terrifics are fighting that metamorphic god thing again in this book. And it's kind of cool because this takes when we left them all, they were all like in like sort of like their own little like versions of like whatever gas or whatever that they were stuck in.
Sure.
And each one of them was stuck in like four gas things. And like Metamorpho was actually fighting the metamorphic god. Well, the funny thing is in this book, they confirm what I said last time.
Right. Which is
Mr. Terrific sees his wife in the car accident that killed her.
Okay.
And she actually comes back and she's like, well, you have to come with me. You don't want to be with these people. And he basically kind of tears himself out from under it. And all the characters that they get back together at the end of the book, which is kind of cool. And oh, at the end of the book, they meet this. They come out after fighting the guy, and Rex is turned back human. Which I got like a Mr. Fantastic Four thing reference, where at one point in time, he could change back from like Thing to being Ben Grimm again.
Right.
Which I thought this was kind of like. Because, like, Mr. Terrific
gets... Bing Ring, do your thing.
Mr. Terrific gets the Orb of Ra and like, reverts all the people back in the town. Because remember in the last issue that they were all, like, being metamorphosized.
Right.
And whatever. Well, then they meet the character that you were talking about last time in your preview. Mm-hmm. And you said who he looked like what?
Looks like Dr. Doom.
And what is his name?
Dr. Dredd. Wow.
And it turns out he zaps them to another Earth, and it's the Earth that Tom Strong is on.
Yeah.
And he goes, yes, I've been pulling your strings from the whole entire time. I'm the reason you all are together. I'm the reason you'll have to fight. And if you don't stop me, I'm going to kill Tom Strong or whatever. I was like, that's pretty cool.
This seems like a good book that I'm not reading.
Like I said, it's Fantastic Four-ish.
Yeah. And I'm excited about the new Fantastic Four book when it comes back.
Because the art in that is terrible.
Well, I can deal with that. I just like the characters. But the point is, like, this seems like a good book that I'm not reading that I feel like it's too late to go back and start it, you know? And so I'm kind of like, oh, I should have picked that up. But all the solicitations
from... I don't know how that's possible, seeing as I've given you every issue of it.
Do you have them? Okay. See, you give me a lot of stuff. I haven't... It's over here in
the
stack.
Like the last 10 issues of Flash.
I know. You mentioned that last week. But my point is, like, it's not so much that I don't have access to them. It's that I don't know if I have the time to go back and start a series... And read 6 issues of
it. What I'm saying is, this will probably be way better than Slott's Fantastic
Four. It may be.
Because right now, like, Iron Man is bad. And he just started that. He's only on issue 2. And so, I've not heard anyone say hide nor hair about that book at all.
It just doesn't seem to me like a character that would be suited for him. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. Dan Slott's supposed to be a good writer. Supposed to be. Everybody loved his Spider-Man stuff. It could just be that everybody loves Spider-Man.
Until the end.
Yeah. All right. Rotten. The last book we're going to talk about tonight is a book that you really can't probably get at this point. So why am I talking about
it? You can get it if he goes to a con. He probably usually has issues.
Sure. So what I mainly am trying to accomplish here at this point is to talk about Paper Films, okay, the company. Because if you miss this project that they put out via Kickstarter, you may have a tough time getting it. Not impossible. If you go to their website, paperfilms.com, you can get some of their past projects that they've still got some love, you know.
And then it might be on Comixology at some point.
It might. And so, but at this point, Like I said, or if you know somebody with a PDF, they may be able to send you a copy of it. I'm not advocating that, but you know, you may be there, or you could borrow a copy from somebody if you know somebody. So there may be ways to get your hands on it to read it. But as far as buying a copy, it, you know, to have a physical copy, it may be tough because all of their work is done via Kickstarter. So this is a company that Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, Amanda Connor, and all their cohorts have started to tell really awesome stories that they just don't seem to be able to find a home for at Marvel or DC or some other independent company. So what they do is they go to Kickstarter and they tell the fans, we got a really cool premise for a book. We want to do it. We think you'll love it. We need X number of dollars to bring this thing to reality. And here's a bunch of bonuses that you can get if you donate at a certain level and so forth and so on. So this book is called Killing Time in America. I think I backed this. It's been like 4 months ago or something like that, maybe longer. And it finally came out. I finally got it in the mail a week or so ago, and I read it. This, I paid up because I had some extra money at the time. I paid up for the, you can just get like a digital copy.
Which is what I got.
And so if you just get like a PDF, what was your donation? It was like
$8.
Like $8, okay? So you can get in on the project cheap. But if you want to spend up, you can drop some serious dime on some of the rewards and stuff they have.
Well, there are somewhere like you can pay like thousands and get them to come to your shop and sign copies.
Right.
But they'll give you like 30 or 40 books of it or whatever.
Yeah, but even your average fanboy like me, I spent $70 on this. Probably more than I should have, but I did. But I got, like I said, this oversized hardback with a variant by Amanda Connor, because I love Amanda Connor's artwork. Now, she doesn't do the art in this book, but she did the cover for me. And not for me, but the one I got. Thank you, Amanda. You did it just for me. And in addition to that, the bonuses I got two art prints by Amanda that came with the book that I won't show to YouTube or to, YouTube, because they're not for children.
They're racy.
They're racy. And the whole book is.
Well, the one is the cover you got.
Yeah. The one is the cover. And the other one is just, is one of the characters from the show, from the story. But this whole book is not for kids. So whether you're talking about the language or moments of nudity that take place in the book, it's not for kids. This is a really rough story. This is a story that starts out in the Alps, and it's about this group of people who are in this small town, and they're all meeting at this tavern. And this group of people are all got this giant pegboard with a map of the United States on it. And they said, all right, who's throwing the dart? And they elect somebody, and somebody is blindfolded, throws a dart at the map. And in this particular case, it happens on a small town in Florida. I forget the name of the town. And they're like, yay, we got a new location. Well, if you look at the map, there's red X's all over the place. Like, so you get the idea that they've done this several times. There's some in California, some in New York, some in the middle of the country, all over the place.
And some in the ocean.
and so they said, all right, well, who are we sending? And so they bring over this jar, and like the oldest man in the village is drawing names out of a hat. And so he pulls out the names of four of them. And I just read this, so I don't remember by his name. There's Lars, and there's two guys and two girls. And they basically send them to this place, this small town in Florida. Okay. When they get there, the first thing they do is they get a cab to the hotel, and they play like they can't speak English very good, like they're tourists. When they get inside the hotel, they start talking really good English. So they know English really well. They're playing up to this idea that they're rubes and that they're innocent and they don't know what's going on. So they're deciding what they're going to do the first night, and it's like, well, we're kind of hungry. Let's go to the convenience store. So they go out to this convenience store, and they're in there picking out some stuff, and this one guy goes, licorice, my favorite. And you know, basically these are kind of like things you can't get where they live, because they live in a small remote village. And these kind of American confectionaries and things like that, they're not available. They don't have corner convenience stores in their little old town that they live in. And so while they're in there, these two guys who masked guys come in, they're robbing the place. And so one of them picks up a coffee pot full of hot coffee and busts over one of the guy's heads, and they proceed to take these guys' guns from them, and they kill them, and they execute them. And then they execute store clerk. And then the cops pull up outside and he goes, oh, frick, it's the cops. And so one of the girls rips her shirt off and goes, oh, my God, they're inside. They're killing everybody. And they go, who's inside? And when she gets close to the cop, because he's like, come here, sweetheart, you know, then as soon as she gets,
oh, it'll be okay, baby.
As soon as she gets close to him, she pulls a gun and blows their brains out. And they take all the cops' guns and everything. And they take all the money from everybody's wallets. They take all the money out of the cash register. They take all the guns and stuff from the cops. They go back to their hotel room. These are like professional killers. Well,
on holiday,
they come off like professional killers. What you find out later is that they're really more or less just amateurs that don't give a flip. And what it reminds me of is like natural born killers or something like that, where you've got two people or four people in this case that are just doing whatever the frick they want to. Now, here's the cool thing. As they spend the next week in this town randomly killing people, torturing people, maiming people, and spending a lot of time naked doing it for some reason, you know, there's a lot of nudity in this book. And like I said, if that kind of thing bothers you, you might not want to get this. But if you're growing up and just, you know, that's part of nothing you any worse than you would see on any major motion picture. There's just quite a bit of it. And so, as they're doing all this stuff and they're hurting all these people and they're killing all these people, they're taking video of it. And they're streaming the video back to their village. And the people in the tavern are sitting there watching it. When somebody gets killed, they all go, yay! Well, what's revealed later on in the book is that years ago in World War II, this town was one of the towns that was liberated by American soldiers. And when the American soldiers came in, they were so excited to meet their liberators. I mean, it was like, oh, everybody came out. We're so excited to meet you. And these American soldiers knew that this was a remote area and that they didn't have any way to get any word out to anybody. And they more or less just took...
Murdered everybody
and had their way with the women and did everything they wanted to. And so this town, what was left of it, holds America as a whole a grudge to this day. And so every summer, they send a different team so as to not get caught, because if the same people were going back and forth every year, you'd find out they'd eventually leave a trail and somebody'd find out who they are. And so every summer they go back and they, for about a week, just kill and maim as many people as they can. They send the video back to the tavern where everybody's watching and rooting for them. And then when they get done, they clean up their mess and they quietly get back on the airplane and they go home. The key thing is keep a low profile. Don't make yourself noticeable. Don't get caught. Okay. Well, problem happens. There's an older black detective that shows up in town. This guy's family's wife and daughter were killed by a group like this in a previous year. And he's been tracking this pattern of random violence that pops up every summer in different places around the country.
Yeah.
And as soon as he heard about these murders that were happening in this town, he comes to town. He goes in to see the police. The police act like he's stupid.
Welcome to town, detective.
and so the police act like he's stupid, like he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a retired old kook cop. And he, because he used to be a police officer. And so he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, more people continue to get killed. The police decide maybe he does know what he's talking about. So they bring him in as a consultant. Well, he starts tracking them down. He starts making leads, starts making connections. He actually sees a couple of them and starts thinking that might be the people I'm looking for, right? And they start getting sloppy because they're really enjoying themselves. Like this, they take this one old guy who was an army veteran in a wheelchair. They tie him down and they push him into the ocean and leave him tied down in his wheelchair in the ocean. And they've got an underwater camera that's attached to the wheelchair that's watching him drown. When at the last second, somebody finds him and pulls him out. Well, now the police have the camera. And they have the guy who's able to describe who it was that put him in the water. So they're starting to get sloppy. And so they said, listen, we're leaving tomorrow night. Let's just, we'll do one more score tonight and then we'll go. We'll leave. Okay. So what they decide is that one of their ilk, the guy who's running the camera and the setup and the computers and trying to send all the video back, he's keeping files on all these people, and he's got camera set up in the bathroom, and he's got camera footage of them masturbating in the bathroom and doing all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't do. And they're so infuriated at him that they decide that he's the last person they're going to kill. So as they've got him basically pinned down and they've got him tied up and they've beat him all his teeth out and everything, the knock comes to the door, and it's that black detective, and he comes in, and there's a firefight, and two or three of them get killed. The only one that lives is this girl with the short black hair, and she basically has a run-in with the black police officer, but he's been disabled. She shot him in the leg or something, and she leaves but leaves him alive, and she leaves the country, and so you don't know where she went. I don't know that she went home, because I think at this point her whole team has been destroyed and that she can't go home because she's a disgrace.
Well, if they keep introducing new people, it wouldn't matter if they were killed.
Right, but I think she feels like when she gets home, she'd be killed.
Oh.
Okay. Because at this point, the black guy that's the detective, he points this out. He said, listen, this happened in like 80 years ago. He said that this thing after World War II. He said, even if it started out as a revenge thing, it's something else now.
Yeah, you would have petered out.
Yeah, he said, now it's just bloodlust. It's like a cult. It's like they all worship at the altar of sex and violence and gore.
Game show or
whatever. Yeah, and he said, and so the last thing you see in the book is him showing up, the black detective, in the Alps, and he's getting ready to go out into the snow and see if he can find this place. And so it definitely sets up for a part two. It's a really good story. It is really kind of over the top, in your face, with content. And so, like I said, you've got to be mature enough to handle that. It's not for the sensitive. But it's really good. This was written by, it's a screenplay originally. And I read some of the back stuff in the back of the book. It's a screenplay by a guy named Craig Wheaton. And he shopped this around to a bunch of different studios. And they had an option on it for a while, but they couldn't get anybody to take it or get a director to do it or whatever. And so they got the rights back to it. And at some point, he met Jimmy, and Jimmy convinced him to do it as a comic book. And so he was talking about learning how to write for a comic book, which is different from writing a screenplay. He said, when you write a screenplay, you just put the story out there. You don't really concern yourself with camera angles and panning in and panning out and fade to black and all that stuff. He said, when you're writing a comic book script, you as the writer are in control of the camera, and you have to put all that in. He said it was a real learning experience on how to do that. Justin Norman is the regular artist on the book who does all the interior art. Very well done. I said these ladies are naked a lot in this book. If you like cheesecake art and pinup art, then he does a very good job with all that. And again, the variant cover by Amanda is fantastic. Just gorgeous all the way through. It's a high quality product. And if you're not following the guys at Paper Films when they do these Kickstarter projects, and if you're not at least getting the PDFs on these or something better, then you're missing out. I love Jimmy. I love Amanda. I love Justin and all these guys and their team that they're putting together over there. And they're putting out a lot of great content. And I have got most of the stuff they have put out, at least in trade or something. And I've missed a few along the way, and it bugs me that I have. But if I ever get a chance or they do a re-release or something, which they've never actually said they were going to do, but I think at some point in the future, they're bound to, because they've got these, they've got all the original artwork and stuff. They could always re-put them out one of these days. I'm hopeful that they'll do that for the ones I missed. But you should be definitely following Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, Amanda Connor, and Paper Films. And when they do a Kickstarter project, you should be involved in that. All right, Charlie, that's my final entry. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, we're done for the night then. We'll be back in just a second to close the show out. You guys sit tight.
Now, as I'm sure you know, Jenny.
Johnny.
Nick, as I'm sure you know, that's just a TV show. Oh, shoot. You wouldn't believe what I spend on tailoring. Anyway, as I said, it's just a TV show. Blast! Hand me that shirt, would you? Thanks. However, Betty, wherever there's a life at stake, I have no qualms about getting tough.
I knew you were the right guy to come to.
All right, then. Let's go get your mama.
Right.
To the Adam West Mobile. Shoot, that's a dumb name, isn't it?
No, it's fine.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, come on, knock it off. Wait a minute. What's that?
What's what?
Our first clue, a Third Avenue candy bar wrapper. Conveniently discarded on top of this trash heap. A little too conveniently, I think.
Almost as if someone wanted us to find it.
Someone's toying with us, Mr. Bravo. And no one makes us sit and spin out of Adam West.
We gotta get to Third Avenue.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. All right, we're going to close the show out now. We want to thank you for being with us. It's a pleasure each and every week to get a chance to sit down and talk to you guys. I'm a little upset that I didn't get a chance to get to the theaters this past weekend and watch Teen Titans Go. I from those people that liked that show, they said the movie was fantastic. Now, I saw a clip or two. It looks fantastic. I want to watch it so bad. I miss watching the show that week to week because it was on Cartoon Network and I don't have regular cable anymore, so I don't get it.
I think the first four or five seasons are on Hulu.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll check
there it out. There are a lot of DC movies on Hulu now.
Are they? All right, so you've heard about
Judas Contract.
I wanted to ask you about this
versus
anyway.
Teen Titans.
Right. Oh, the animated hour and a half movies or whatever? Cool. I wanted to ask you.
The Justice League.
I just watched this side issue since you mentioned that. I just watched the 66 Batman versus Two-Face cartoon. Did you get a chance to see that? William Shatner doing the voice of Harvey Dent. It is phenomenal. And when the last...
Oh, wait, I didn't see that one. I saw the first one.
The first one, all right. Well, I've got the second one digitally if you want to watch it sometime you're over. But William Shatner doing the voice of Harvey Dent, it was about... Bruce, my old friend. I'm glad you're here.
Well, the funny thing is, like, I'm watching that show, Trial and Error on NBC.
Right.
And the guy who plays the lawyer was Harvey Dent on Gotham.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I was like, I'm never watching Gotham, but this Trial and Error show is hilarious.
Cool.
Because they were talking about this one guy in the last episode, and this woman, like Kristen Chenoweth, plays like the killer this year, the supposed killer who he's trying to defend as her attorney, as his attorney, as her attorney.
Gotcha.
And she pretends to be some guy who she grew up, because she's real rich, and this guy used to work for her family.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, well, they walk into, like, her driveway, right?
Right.
And it's a big, huge driveway, and she goes, this is where, what's his name, died, and here are the 3 feet of skid marks from the car that killed him. And she goes, well, he died doing what he loved, screaming at cars. Screaming at the front of cars. That show's great. It's hilarious.
So San Diego Comic-Con is come and gone. A lot of big announcements coming out. A lot of trailers. Fantastic. Just briefly, Charlie, we saw an Aquaman trailer.
Awesome.
It looked pretty good.
Aquaman. But someone's already compared it to Black Panther.
Oh, yeah?
Like almost scene for scene.
Oh, there's a big, they correspond or they're,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I haven't seen that yet, but so I thought that was a great trailer. I'm excited about that movie. We got a trailer for Shazam.
Yeah.
That looks phenomenal. And it's more,
like big with superpowers.
Right. And I think it's going to be a funnier, lighter tone. So I'm looking forward to that. What else did we get?
Godzilla.
Oh, Godzilla. Saw that. We didn't get a lot of footage of Godzilla in that. But the girl that plays 11 on Stranger Things is in that. So that should be interesting.
Mothra, Ghidorah.
Yeah. And they talk about all the classic monsters and stuff.
Well, the rumor going around is like there's 4 that we know are in it.
Mm-hmm.
But they said there's like at least 3 more we don't know.
Right.
I'm like, geez, that movie's going to be packed.
Yeah. Well, I said they saved all the Godzilla fighting in the first one for like the last 15 minutes of the show. So hopefully it's longer.
And this one, I know like the next movie is Godzilla versus King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's their monster verse.
Right.
So I don't know if he'll show up in the actual movie or he'll be in the after credits.
Right.
Kong of Skull Island, yeah. Which that was a great movie too.
Oh, and by the way, if anybody out there that likes Alternate Reality wants to do me a solid, if you can get your hands on one of those Laughing Prince Adam action figures, I need that so bad in my life. I was looking at them on eBay today. They're running anywhere from like $65 to $100 or more.
You could have bought one when they put the store out live for like $38.
I'm kind of broke right now. That's why I'm on here begging for people to buy me things. But anyway, it's one of those things that one of these days, if I ever find it cheap, I may get one. But it's
give it a few years.
Yeah, after the popularity wanes. It'll come down. I've been trying to buy an Action Comics number 1000 that's Slab CGC, And like the prices on those things are still up there. And you can't get one for less than $40, $50, $60, depending. And I'm wanting them to get them in the $20, $30 range. So I'm hoping they'll come down soon. But you know, that may be a limited supply on that kind of thing. I don't know how many there are out there that got slabbed. But I'm looking for that too. The big announcement that came out of San Diego Comic-Con that I wanted to ask you about was the DC streaming service. Is that a thing that you think you would pay for? You think so? Yeah, because the price on it...
If I'd had the $75 for it, I would have...
Paid for the year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, if you work it out, it's like 5 months for free.
Yeah.
If you'd have paid it then.
Yeah. If you had, that was a special deal that existed at that time. Yeah, you can't get that yearly rate all the time. Sad.
Well, the thing is, it's like it's $8 a month, so yeah, I'll pay $8 a month, and that's...
That's
where Superman and Batman, the animated series, mm-hmm. are going to be HD on it. So
right.
That's where you can see them streaming HD.
Right. They're going to have all the classic movies, Christopher Reeves movies, just all that old stuff.
I'm kind of excited for Swamp Thing.
Yeah, right. And so, Doom
Patrol.
Of course, we did get some flack on this new Teen Titans TV show. But, you know, that's much ado about nothing. We'll reserve judgment until that comes
out. I just think it's sad that, like, they announced that it was going to be an R-rated type show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, about a month or so ago.
Right.
And everyone sees this trailer and they're like,
oh, my God.
I was going to watch this show with my kids and now I can't. Okay, there's Teen Titans Go. There's Young Justice.
There's all kinds of stuff on there for them.
I mean, is it really a problem that you can't watch one show that's not even Teen Titans? It's Titans.
Right, so it's an adult show.
It's more of an
adult. Those are adult heroes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Teen Titans. Didn't Deathstroke sleep with a 15-year-old girl in that?
Yes.
Comic book?
Yes.
So... what are you complaining about here?
I agree.
I mean, just the fact that Robin says F Batman.
Well,
at a point in time, he was not happy with Batman
when he left to go be Nightwing.
Become Nightwing, yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's been pretty ticked off at Bruce a couple times.
Right. And so, yeah, you're right. And so we don't know the context for that scene. It could have been a dream sequence. It could have been him imagining saying it. It could have been a lot of different things. But even if it was real and he actually said it, again, he might have been under pressure. He might have been stressed. He might have been aggravated. It doesn't mean that every other word out of Robin's mouth is going to be the F word.
And then another thing, and they were like, well, Dick Grayson wouldn't say that. Well, how do you know that's Dick Grayson as you know him as Dick Grayson?
Right. The only other version.
Maybe he's Dick Grayson with Jason Todd's background.
Right. You never know what the version show is of the character
until you see the show.
Right. So, yeah, it's
almost to the point to where fanboyism is.
Oh, they're their own worst enemy.
Yeah.
They want all this new content. But then when it comes out, they gripe about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I mean, I can, like, say for something that Gotham is not my show.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good thing that they made it.
But, sure, it's fine that they made it. I don't care.
And so if it finds an audience, good. It's good for DC. It's good for Warner Brothers. It's good for everybody.
And I like the fact that, like, Jim Lee and Didio came out a couple weeks ago saying, yeah, we're going to try everything to get people excited for comic books.
That's right.
And they should.
They exactly should.
I mean, I've heard people complain about that Black Label thing that they're doing, which is ridiculous because, okay, they're comic books for adults.
Sure. Well, they've been doing imprints for years. They did Marvel Knights back in the day. Vertigo is an imprint with adult themes. You know, I don't get the problem.
Well, I don't either. It's just like I said, it's fanboyism.
Right. You want everything, and I suffer from this a little bit. You want everything to be the way it was when you were a kid, when it was crystallized in your memory as perfect.
I call it Scott Gardnerism.
No, we love the Scott Gardner, but still, it's...
when Scott Gardner's favorite Superman era is from, like, 72 to 81, you know? Yeah.
was during the release of Superman 1 and 2.
Where Superman didn't kill anybody.
Right.
At all.
Ever. For anything.
You know. Like I said, it's only like 30 issues.
I don't know what you're talking about, because depending on the cut of Superman 2 that you've seen, he threw those guys in that snow and they didn't come out.
Yeah.
It looked like a bottomless snow pit chasm to me.
Well, you're supposed to, like, have, like, at the end of the movie when the cops show up, they show them.
Right, but that's not in every cut. Sometimes that's out. Like, if you, the DVD I've got.
But it never bothered me.
Yeah.
I didn't think that they died. It didn't bother me when I was a kid. I just didn't care.
But even if they didn't die, he crushes Zod's feeble hand. Yeah. Crushes every bone in it.
Yeah.
No remorse. Nothing.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So, you know, if Superman's the Boy Scout that everybody leads him to be, he wouldn't have hurt a hair on that powerless man's head.
And he wouldn't have went back to the diner later for revenge.
That's either. Exactly right.
Because Superman's above all that.
Right. So, yeah, Chris Reeves is a real Superman for the real world. But,
have you seen, like,
my problems with, like, modern incarnations is more like costume changes and things like that.
Have you seen the, I think it's Superman 2, where there was actually a superpowered villain in it other than
the three Kryptonians?
Yeah, it's Superman 2. And he's fighting someone like a Bizarro. Yeah, you can look it up on YouTube. It's crazy. It's like 2 minutes where like him and this guy have a fight.
You're not talking about Superman 3 where he fights the evil version of himself, are you?
No.
Okay, well, I'll have to check that out. You'll have to find the link for me. But so anyway, a lot of news coming out of San Diego. Some of it very, very interesting and popular and exciting. Marvel didn't release a lot of news this year.
They didn't go.
Yeah, they that's what I'm saying. They weren't.
Disney decided not to present.
Right.
In Hall H.
So, you know. Cool beans. All right. So, let's wrap the show up. We were supposed to be doing this, and my wife's going to yell at me.
Maybe it's Superman.
Check us out on Alternate Realities website. That's www.arnetcast.podomatic.com. I think you can leave the WW off. So it's just arnetcast.podomatic.com. Send us email like Ravenjack did at alternatereality podcast, all one word, at gmail.com. We will read and respond to your message on the air. Send us positive vibes by going to the iTunes and writing nice things about us. Go to the iTunes review section and rate us 5 stars. And write a review that says many lovely things about us. Every time you do that, that helps us get more exposure and brings more people to the show. Social networking is where it's at if you want to interact with me and Charlie. Twitter.com/John Loveless.
No, it's Superman 4.
Oh, okay.
He fights the Bizarro.
Okay, I'll check it out. Twitter.com/John Loveless for me, /XOnslaught for Charlie, and /AR_podcast for the show itself. Keep in mind that if you follow me recently, I more or less rebooted my account from scratch. So if you were following me, you may not be now. You might want to go to Twitter and check that and refollow me. And if I was following you and maybe I'm not anymore, you might want to just nudge me and say, hey, you need to follow me again. Because everybody that I was following went away and everybody that was following me went away. So we got to recreate all those relationships. I'm sorry about that. That just kind of had to be done. Alden Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
I was going to say, you know, if someone wants to.
Wants to what?
What do they call it? Blackmail you?
Mm-hmm.
They've already got it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And I think that all those tweets are recorded at the Library of Congress anyway. So I think you can get most of that stuff there if you ever wanted to go dig through it.
But what I'm saying is, you know, they went out for James Gunn.
Oh, sure. Well, that's not why I did it. I was just concerned that...
No, I'm just saying that with what's recently going on,
mm-hmm.
he said some things about someone else.
Right.
And these people were just like, well, we'll get him back. We'll just go back and do his stuff.
But this is true from this point of view, is that if you're on social network and you got a public profile and anybody can see it, then everything you say is under a microscope.
Yeah, and if someone wants to
do you damage,
they're going to do it.
They're going to do it, right.
That's why I just don't care. Well, do whatever you want about me, I don't care.
Sure. So, but I was just concerned.
I'm past that now. I'm above it.
Well, yeah, you're above it because you don't give a flip. But some of us with businesses and church relationships and things like that, we're concerned that somebody might try to character assassinate us. And so over 10 years of Twitter, I just thought it was entirely possible I may have said something jokingly that could be construed the wrong way. So the easiest way to delete all those tweets was to delete the account. And hopefully that takes care of it. Like I said, that content may still be out there on some backup server somewhere. Who knows? But hopefully that takes care of it. Anyway, Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. Go over to the network at comics with an S, podcast with an S.com, comics podcast, double plural, .com, and check out the network where we are members and a bunch of other really cool people are members along with us. And they've got a bunch of interesting content over there from comic podcast creators that perhaps you aren't familiar with or have never heard before that you could give a try. All right. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
Nope.
All right. It's getting late in the summer and we got fall coming up and, won't be long before Halloween will be on us and stuff. And so, Alternate Reality is, pushing ever forward into the future and we're not far away from that, 400th episode. So
actually it's already,
well, yeah, technically I think we've already hit it if you count the actual number of episodes, but the episode that's numbered 400. So we may try to do something special on that 400th episode to celebrate.
Marvel Legacy, we're just going to like jump up to like 410.
We should just renumber to 1 now, just before we get to 400. Yeah. And then go back to 400 when we get to episode 4. All right, so that's it for this week. And until next week, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
You guys have a good night. We're out.
Kentucky rain keeps pouring down. And up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through. With the rain in my shoes. Searching for you.
Alternate Reality, bringing it to you each and every week. What?
No.
Check us out on the web at Oh, God. All right, let's do that again.
giving it to you hard over and over and over again.
Pounding it to you.
In and out of your ears.
Is that the way you like it? Is that the way you like it? All right, 3, 2, 1.
We become the Eric podcast.
3, 2, 1.